news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Breaking news to start the week. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has given full approval of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. Pfizer's vaccine has so far been distributed under an FDA emergency use authorization. Full approval could help businesses, schools, and states enforce vaccine mandates and encourage some people who've been hesitant to take the shot to get it. If approval leads to higher vaccination rates and if people remember to get the booster shots, health professionals are hoping it'll be enough to curb the latest worsening pandemic surge. In fact, almost immediately after the announcement, early Monday morning, Bill de Blasio, New York City mayor, announced a vaccine mandate for all school staff without testing alternative. All education department staff must provide proof of their first dose by September 27th, making New York City with among the strictest vaccine mandates for school staffs in the country. Officials say the New York City vaccine mandate will apply to 143,000 education department employees. Well, that's a start. Moving on, the House of Representatives returns to D.C. on Monday in the middle of their August recess for a series of votes necessary to move along the infrastructure bills and Joe Biden's agenda. But these are the Democrats we're talking about. They don't do anything easily, NBC's Sahil Kapoor explains.
The House returning early and planning a series of votes today and tomorrow to move that $3.5 trillion package that is a centerpiece of President Biden's agenda. That's the safety net expansion and tax hikes on upper earners. Speaker Pelosi is facing a rebellion from a group of moderate House Democrats who say they don't want to begin work on that $3.5 trillion reconciliation package until the Senate-passed infrastructure bill is done, passed in the House, and signed into law by President Biden. They have a new op-ed today in the Washington Post digging in on this position, nine of them saying that they oppose holding that infrastructure bill hostage, their word, to the reconciliation bill. Now, Speaker Pelosi has said for months that these bills have to move in tandem because the votes aren't there to pass one without the other. To that end, a coalition of progressive groups has a new ad campaign out today targeting these nine moderate Democrats, led by Congressman Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, accusing them of obstructing President Biden and his agenda. Of course, here, this is a high-stakes standoff between the progressive and moderate wings of the Democratic Party with huge consequences for President Biden's agenda. Democrats hope to run on the infrastructure bill and this reconciliation bill, which would include major investments in health care and child care, mitigating climate change, raising taxes on upper earners and corporations to get it done. They want to run on this in the 2022 midterm elections to tell voters, please keep us in power for another 2 years. But of course, they have to pass it first. And Speaker Pelosi is probably going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat to get all members of the House except three Democrats, which is her margin for error.
Democrats have the uncanny ability to pull defeat from the jaws of victory time and time again. Now on to Afghanistan, where chaos continues at the Kabul airport, tens of thousands of people still trying to escape the Taliban. Dozens of U.S. military transport jets are expected to land there on Monday alone to ferry some of the roughly 20,000 people still inside the airport walls. The Defense Department is also mobilizing commercial airlines to help with the evacuations. One thing that's paved the way for a new crush of people was the issuance of electronic visas to many of the special immigrant visa applicants, but they're without names or document numbers. So some people then copied those visas electronically and sent them to others who didn't have the authorization to be at the airport. Some families are reportedly so desperate to leave, they're being split up and boarding flights to different countries just to get out of Afghanistan. And for those who've been asking where the Afghan military has been, well, some of them are now showing up. Former Afghan soldiers and other resistance fighters drove the Taliban out of three mountain districts north of Kabul. Former Afghan acting defense minister Bismillah Khan Mohammadi said the resistance is still alive. This fighting reportedly took place on Friday after Taliban forces started conducting house-to-house searches. The resistance fighters said they killed 30 Taliban fighters, although a pro-Taliban Twitter account said the toll was half of that. Oy. Regardless, President Biden said on Sunday that he was in discussions to extend the deadline for withdrawing the last troops from Afghanistan beyond August 31st. as a massive effort to evacuate Americans and Afghan allies fleeing the Taliban accelerates. But a Taliban spokesman said that the allies must stick to their deadline, saying, quote, foreign forces should withdraw on the deadline they have announced earlier. Otherwise, it is a clear violation. Well, Tropical Storm Henri made landfall in Rhode Island on Sunday, knocking out power to 74,000 customers in the state. Another 20,000 lost electricity in Connecticut. The storm was downgraded from a hurricane to a tropical storm shortly before it hit the shore, but it still had 60 miles per hour sustained winds with gusts up to 70. Henri drenched parts of New England with heavy rains and high tides as it pushed inland, flooding roads and forcing the closure of numerous bridges. New York's Long Island was spared a direct hit by Henri, though New York City's Central Park was under threat on Saturday. But the massive New York City homecoming concert went on. The concert was in full swing. They made it more than halfway through the program. Barry Manilow was in mid-medley when a lightning strike shut the whole thing down.
I just can't smile. Please pay close attention to the following safety message. Due to approaching severe weather, all persons should move quickly and calmly to the nearest exit and proceed to your vehicles and protected areas outside of the event site.
Torrential rains and precarious conditions forced the cancellation of the rest of the event, with Bruce Springsteen, Patti Smith, Paul Simon, and some of the other biggest names of the event waiting to see if they'd be allowed to perform. Shortly after 10 p.m., they pulled the plug entirely. The threatening storm gave Governor Andrew Cuomo one last turn behind the mics in front of the cameras to show his leadership as Henri approached. Monday is his final day in office. Cuomo officially leaves office at 11:59 p.m. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul's swearing-in happens immediately thereafter, just after midnight on Tuesday, August 24th. And this disturbing tidbit, the Albany Times Union is reporting that Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's been staying with one of his sisters in Westchester County during the final days of his administration, recently asked staff members at the executive mansion if anyone would like to keep his dog Captain. Captain remained at the residence after the governor moved out last week. That is so not cool. And finally, the AFL-CIO, the largest federation of labor unions in the country, announced Friday that they've elected Liz Shuler as the first woman to serve as its president. Shuler succeeds Richard Trumka, who served as president from 2009 until he died unexpectedly a few weeks ago at the age of 72. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.